Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Rarely do I address things like political events, but just felt compelled to talk this morning about kind of where we are as a nation and, you know, where we go from here. And it would probably shock you the amount of emails and phone calls I've received from people all across the board in terms of their political persuasion about where we are and where we're going. And of course, if you go online now, you have the end timers, you know, those that think Jesus is going to come back again any moment. Now you've got a whole new list of prophetic stuff that, interesting to say the least. And I just think that I've had many people really, you know, okay, if your candidate won or didn't win, it may affect your emotions for a little bit. You know, we all like to win, right? And when it comes to this, though, for Christians, I just want to maybe put some things in perspective, because there's a significant amount of Christians that really felt like they heard from God. And I'm not saying that to make fun. I'm just saying that my heart hurts for them, because many Christians have felt like they heard from God on this election. And in fact, when I kind of took a little informal poll, it would have probably been 10% or less felt like President Obama was going to win, but probably 90% felt like Mitt Romney was going to win. Am I right? If you were here last Sunday, you probably saw that. I've had some jokingly say, boy, I'm kind of depressed. But I've had a lot say, I really am confused here, because I thought I had heard from God. Now, if you think about where that could go and where that could lead, that really is a pretty deep issue there. Because if they felt like they heard from God, and obviously, if it was such that they felt like the other candidate should or was going to win, then that can open up the whole doors of knocking the spiritual legs right out from underneath of you. Because then the next question is, man, I was sure to the core of my being, and it didn't happen that way. Now, where's your next thought? So other things that I thought I heard from God on, maybe I didn't at all. So it opens up a can of worms. And I just want to maybe kind of put some things in perspective and maybe encourage us a little bit about some things. Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 12, it says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Now, I know not everybody wanted the losing candidate to win. Now, think about this even down on a state level. You know, there was things that happened on a state level that has caused a lot of consternation among a lot of different people. And I think one thing that we would all agree is that this nation is a divided nation on a lot of issues. And even now, locally within our state, it's apparent that there's some dividedness among the state. Now, there's Christians of all party affiliations and all sides, if you could, to use a political term, all sides of the aisle. People that love God on all sides of the aisle. And within the body of Christ, now there's Christians that are at odds with one another because their candidate or their, you know, issue didn't win or did win or whatever it may be. And so I just feel compelled. I just want to remind us of a few things, okay? And so we'll just start off and see where we go. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Verse 14. Pursue peace with all people. I want to stay there for just a moment. Pursue peace with all people. Where do we as Christians in this wonderful nation that we live in, where do we go? How do we begin to help us as a nation move forward? Well, one of the first things, how many of you know you can never go wrong by pursuing peace? Notice it says with all people. So that means far right conservatives need to pursue peace with far left liberals. Am I right or wrong? And far left liberals need to pursue peace with far right conservative. Go after it. Now notice it doesn't say try to persuade one another. Doesn't say pull out a tube or two and, you know, bat each other upon the head. Doesn't say get your arguments in line. Doesn't say anything like that. You know, for those that are on the far right, they wish the liberals will get saved. There's a lot of far left liberals that are saved that wish the far right. Did I say that right? Is there such thing as a far right liberal? There's some far left liberals that wished some far right conservatives would get saved, right? But it says to pursue peace. Peace is not, by the way, full agreement. Pursuing peace speaks to a higher level, because we can disagree on some things, isn't that right? But we still can be peaceful in the process. Amen? Then look what it says. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one else will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. So what does that mean? And holiness. So for us as Christians, doesn't matter your party affiliation or if you have no party affiliation. Okay? For Christians, we pursue peace and we live right. Isn't that right? Now, how many of you know you can do that under any government? You can do that under any party that's in power. You can do that actually in any nation on the face of the earth. You can pursue peace and you can live right and be holy. Amen? Then it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Looking carefully. And one thing that I think above all else, that at least I can make this comment on, and it's just an observation, okay? It's not dogmatic doctrine. But every election, by the way, there's a winner and there's a loser. And there's losers that feel like they heard from God, their guy or gal should have won, or their amendment or proposition or whatever it may be should have won. And so there's people that are disappointed and there's people that are elated in every election. Are you with me? Here's the one thing that as Christians, I just want to encourage you to just think about. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to take a pause in our own life and go, you know what? It's okay if you're disappointed that you didn't win. Okay? I mean, that's a natural human response. And we're people, right? Your issue that got defeated, your candidate that got defeated, it's okay for there to be a temporary, everybody say temporary, a temporary, but you know what's not okay is when there's a long-term depression. That's not okay. And so here's why I think it's a wonderful thing that we actually, as Christians, we can use opportunities like these. And in our nation, we get this opportunity thrust upon us every 2 years. Right? Either on a state level or a national level, somewhere along the line. Every 2 years, what do we do as Americans? We usually vote. Isn't that right? About something. And we've got people that are praying, you know, and as a Christian, we should pray. Just understand this. It's okay to have that thing, but here's what's not okay. It's not okay for us to fall short of the grace of God. Pastor, what does that mean? What is falling short of the grace of God? How do you fall short of the grace of God? Well, for the Christian, it's this. Falling short of the grace of God is having received the gift of grace. Okay, received life, received Jesus Christ, we've committed our life to Him, we're a Christian now. Falling short of that grace is remaining unchanged. How does that speak to election? Listen, it's okay to have that, it's okay to have that, oh man, I wish we'd have won. But what do we do? What do we quickly do? We pursue peace and we live right. Because we can do that regardless of what's going on. Now go to the Old Testament and we'll talk about something else that gets pointed out every election time. It just seems that where we are as a nation is an incredible gulf. It seems like the line of demarcation is pretty deep in the sand, right? That we are a quite divided nation. And it reveals, every election reveals where we place our trust. Isn't it? Trust in what? Trust in your joy level. Because listen, if what it reveals to me is I that's why I think it's a great time to take it just a pause for your relationship between you and God. If we're just absolutely blown out of the water, knock me over, hit me upside the head, cold cock me about any election or anything that won or got defeated, our trust may be displaced. It may be in the wrong spot. Because listen, we serve the God of the universe that trumps any government, trumps any policy, trumps any party. And you know what? It didn't knock him off the throne at all. When a proposition lost that people thought should have won, or vice versa, or when an amendment, you know, whatever it may be, or when a candidate won, how many of you know Jesus on the throne didn't go, oh, he didn't go, can you believe it? What are we going to do now? Call the angels. Right? So let's look here. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Because this should begin to at least maybe help us refocus and also encourage our hearts. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So let me give you a little bit of background of the word heart. Whenever you see the word heart used in the Bible, it includes here and here. Point to your here and here. It's what it's referring to. A lot of times when we teach New Testament, when we teach about spirit, soul, and body, we separate those things. On a very real practical level, here and here are intertwined. In fact, it takes the Word of God. It's the only thing that can make the line of demarcation. So when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, how many of you know we have to acknowledge that our understanding is skewed? Our understanding can be flat out wrong. Any of you ever done anything just flat out wrong that maybe you found out about it later? That you went, ooh, my understanding of that was totally wrong. And when it comes to where we are as a nation, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Now look how the same thing is sort of placed there again. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. How many of you know there's something that we can do in terms of, and it says, and He shall direct your paths. How many of you know the path that you're walking on is not changed because of who won or who lost? Why? Because the path of the righteous gets what? Brighter and brighter. How many of you know the path of the righteous isn't tied to who is in power? The path of the righteous isn't tied to a decision, a law that was passed. It's not tied to a law that should have been passed. It's not tied to anything like that. The path of the righteous is the path of the righteous, of which the God of the universe is in charge of the path. And so you know what? We live in this nation, and I still think that America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I really do. Do I know that it really isn't in terms of that we're better than other people? Sure, I know that. But you know what? Every person in this room is blessed beyond measure because we live in this nation. I mean, we're blessed beyond measure, guys. We really are. And so what do we do as believers? I've had, I don't know how many Christians, seriously, some are joking, but many are dead dog serious. What do we do now? You know what? We just keep living, loving God. And what it does do, I think that's positive, is it causes us to just pause and take an assessment of where is our trust. Have we put a little bit too much trust in our government or in any entity outside of God? So let's go. Let's look here in Psalms 31. So I'm a type A personality. I'm a competitor. And my concern is that there's many Christians that their joy level is tied too strongly to the win column. You know what I mean? And that, you know, whatever it may be, you could name the issue. It just doesn't matter. And there's too much of a tie sometimes to our own understanding of... Now, I know there's people on both sides of the aisle that look at the other side of the aisle and go, how can you embrace that ideology? Right?
And still call yourself a Christian. Right?
I just look at it this way. What's the alternative? Seriously, what's the alternative? If we don't dig deeper in God, and that alternative will change every 2 years, because this, that, or the other will come into power or leave, whatever it may be. This idea, this premise, this amendment, this proposition, this, you know, whatever it may be, this legalization, this not legal, whatever it may be, will just put us on a roller coaster of emotions. And you know what? I would choose... Okay, we're in a tough economic time in this nation. And I don't know if prognosticators are on or not, but all across the aisle, politically speaking, it looks like we may have some even worse economic things before things get better. So what does it mean for us as a believer? Well, what it means for me is it's calling me to a point of trust. Okay, where is your trust going to be? In 1982, Dorette and I got married in April. 6 months later, we moved to Nova Scotia on October 16th. And when we landed in Nova Scotia, you know, we're all excited. So 1982, that's a long time ago, 30 years ago. We'd have been there, babe, for about 2 weeks. We'd just be getting over motion puke from... We rode on all of our stuff was put on a ship, and we were on the aft of a storm, and Dorette just puked her guts out for hours upon end. I didn't, but I wanted to. And every time we laid down for 2 solid weeks, we were on the boat again. Oh, it was just awful. Anyhow, when we got there, we found out that we were faced with gas prices of $2.89 a gallon in 1982, 30 years ago. We left America... Gas was under $1 a gallon. Okay? That's a shocker. When your salary is $150 a week and you got $2.89 a gallon gas. And the car that we had was a 1977 Chevy Impala. That was my car. Dorette's car was a 1980 VW Rabbit. Guess what got drove a lot? We drove the little legs off that rabbit. Chicken was... The cheapest meat you could buy, it was $1.89 a pound 30 years ago. When you got into beef, you were over $4 a pound. So you're just talking, whoop. So I fished a lot and I hunted a lot. Kicker is, that's where I come with phrase, because Ken Borer is our sound guy, and on Wednesday night after the election, Ken came up and was joking. Ken crossed his arms and he said, "Seems like I remember somebody said, you know what, if eggs go up to $5 a piece." Started laughing because I've said that 100 times, but it came from our time in Nova Scotia. Because I said, "You know what, babe, gas goes up to $5 a gallon. We're still going to drive wherever God needs us to drive." And I jokingly said, "You know, and if eggs get up to $2 or $3 a piece, we're still going to have omelets." Why? Because our trust is not in the Canadian government's ability to deliver gas or provide electricity. Our trust is in the God of the universe. Our electricity bill, by the way, a kilowatt of electricity in Nova Scotia was 6 times what we were paying in Oklahoma. So in Oklahoma, your most expensive electric bill's in the summer because of air conditioning. And, you know, we lived in a little apartment and wasn't that big of a deal. But our electric bill in Nova Scotia for a 800 square foot place was upwards of $200+ a month. Okay, you make $150 a week and you got to buy food and whatever. Stay warm. You can snuggle a whole lot. We got into snuggling. And the whole thing is here. You know what? Here are a lot of things that, you know, and I've jokingly even said that there's different things that's been enacted over the years, not just this election cycle, but over the years, that, boy, it's going to break our nation. You know what? It may break a nation, but it will not break the God of the universe. And my trust is in Him. How about you? If we look to the United States government, we're going to be hugely disappointed about every 2 years. Right? If we look to our local whatever, we're going to get disappointed or be elated. And you know what? I just choose to even it out. I choose to put my trust in God regardless of whatever else takes place. Look at Psalms 31. Are you there? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Never let me be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Now look at this. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. How many of you know we can run to the rock that will never be moved and we can find our refuge there? Amen? If we think the government's going to bail us out of this, that, or the other, I'm going to tell you what. You may be encouraged or you may be discouraged. But listen, when we run to God, we'll never be discouraged. Amen? I love what this nation was founded upon. The United States Constitution really is an incredible document. But you know what? It's not holy. Amen? It's not holy. It's pretty incredible. And you look at the United States Constitution and put it up against constitutions of other nations of the world, and I'm going to tell you what, it kind of sits on its own shelf, but I'm going to tell you what shelf that the United States Constitution can't sit on. The Constitution can't sit on the shelf that includes the Bible. This trumps it. Does that mean we dishonor it? No. I thank God for our Constitution. Thank God for it. But you know what? This is more sure than our Constitution. This is more sure than our Supreme Court. This is more sure than our Senate. This is more sure than our House. This is more sure than what anybody stands in front of a microphone and tells us of what they're going to do for us. This is more sure. Amen? And so, you know what? What do we do? Well, we pursue peace, we live right, and we put our trust in God. I just love how the psalmist just kind of bears his heart to God. Verse 3, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they've secretly laid for me. For you are my strength." You know what? There's some Christians, honestly, that have found themselves in a net of misplaced trust. And we can pull ourselves out of it by readjusting where we put our trust. Our trust is in God. Now listen, when I say that, what I'm not saying, oh, our trust is in God, just let our nation go to hell in a handbasket. I'm not saying that. This is our nation. This is the nation that these armed guys and gals that served in our armed forces, this is a nation that they've died to protect. So we're not going to stand by and let it go to hell in a handbasket. Amen? We're not going to do that. But at the same time, where it may diverge from the Word, where it may diverge from things that get enacted or whatever, where it may, our trust is going to be in God. We're not going to put our trust there. Okay? We're going to pray for there. We're going to still vote. We're going to exercise our right as a citizen. I know I was talking to a bunch of Christians from out of state that just blew me away. Well, we're not going to vote. Okay, why aren't you going to vote? Well, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Anyhow, it's like, oh, yeah, whatever. By the way, off topic, did you hear about the election of a mayor's race in a town somewhere that ended up in a dead heat? Okay, this is too funny. So two guys are running for a mayor's spot in a little town in wherever USA. Dead heat. And they chose the election by a coin toss. Only to have the wife of one of the candidates go, "I forgot to vote." I'd have just loved to have been a mouse in their car driving home. That's too funny right there. I just think, well, there you go. One vote really does count, right? Anyhow, but it was a serious conversation with a few Christians. And then here's what else they said. Because after all, God's going to do what He wants to do anyhow. So it doesn't matter if we vote or not. I said, okay, let's... So what you're saying is God's going to override your real will regardless. I said, so then you probably just don't even need to even pray, period. Because God's going to do what He wants to do anyhow.
right?
Why pray? And how many of you know that we've probably all prayed stuff that really God didn't intend to do anyhow because it was out of His will? But guess what? When it comes to things like voting, guys, I've spent a lot of time in some countries that you don't have the right to vote. And they would just pinch themselves happy if they had an opportunity to vote. So you know what, Christians, we need to be good citizens. We need to vote every time. Okay, and if your guy doesn't win, doesn't mean that, you know, God failed to answer your prayer. Okay, it just means that, you know, didn't turn out your way. So what do we do? What do we do? We still be who we are. And listen, where we are as a nation, it's really the state of the world. I want to encourage you something. I was talking with a group of young people at a different place, and they're Christian young people, blown out of the water, just blown out of the water. I just don't know what to do. It doesn't seem like there's any future hope for me now. It's like, oh, wait a minute. The path that you're on is not synonymous with the path of the United States of America. The path that you're on as a believer is a higher path. Amen? So you've got a wonderful future. Well, how can I have a wonderful future? It's like, well, because God's the one that calls the shot. It's not our congressman. It's not our congresswomen. It's not our president. It's not our Supreme Court. Oh, yeah, they enact stuff that affects us in the natural. But how many of you know God doesn't tie our path to the path of the government of which we find ourselves under? You still got a future and a great hope. And when God thinks about your future, it's a great future. Amen? And so I was telling them, I said, you know, I think we're in a great opportunity, really, as Christians. And they go, why? And I said, because listen, you seem like there's a whole lot of darkness around. Okay, and I think we could probably all look and go, okay, there's been some morals that have degraded all through the years. Are you with me? Character issues that's degraded through the years. But you know what? When there's darkness and somebody shining a bright lightly, or brightly, shining a light brightly, light that's shown in darkness is magnified. Well, how do we magnify that light? Just be the light. Pursue peace and holiness and put your trust in God. And guess what? Your light will shine brightly. Go on here. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. And look, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you've considered my trouble. You've known my soul in adversities. I love that last phrase. That last phrase just speaks to me so loudly. You've known my soul in adversity. So that then causes us to ask ourselves a question. When times get tough, what do we do? Do we cave in? Do we roll over? Do we get overwhelmed? Do we throw up our arms in disgust? Do we throw up our arms and give up? What do we do in adversity? And I love the psalmist says, you've known my soul in adversity. And I want to encourage us Christians, whenever it seems like there's adversity in your life on whatever level, do you know what? Let's make sure that in adversity, we go deeper in God. And that our trust grows stronger in God. Amen? Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and He heard my cry. Okay, so there's a lot of crying going on. Okay? There's a lot of Christians are truly on both sides, okay, on any issue. So don't just think what I'm talking about is the outcome of the presidential election. Okay? I'm talking far bigger than all of that. I'm talking even nationwide. He inclined to me and He heard my cry. And He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock. You know what that tells me about God? When we find ourselves in a hurting spot, on whatever level, cry out to Him, turn to God, and you know what He's going to do? He's going to, listen, notice it doesn't say, He removed the horrible pit. It doesn't say that He did away with, there's now no more miry clay. Notice it just says you got delivered out of it and He took your feet out of the miry clay. But what's left? There's still a horrible pit and there's still miry clay. And guess what? We can find ourselves there anytime we get our eyes off of God.
anytime.
If we think a change in our healthcare system is going to fix our health problems, our trust is misplaced. If we think a change in how Wall Street does business, I'm not saying that it shouldn't, I'm just saying, if we think a change in how Wall Street does business is going to fix all of our economic problems, I'm going to tell you what, our trust is in the wrong spot. Amen? If we think a repeal of whatever law has ever been enacted is going to fix our morality in America, our trust is in the wrong spot. Amen? Look at this. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. You know what I see that? That's a picture to me. Because we can put ourselves in a horrible pit of despair. We can get bogged down in a miry clay of thinking our own understanding of how this, that, or the other should have gone or should go or whatever it may be. But you know, if we'll run to God, cry out to God, and that cry out to God, by the way, is a cry that says this to God. God, I want to commit myself into your hands. Not my agenda, not my, but Lord, because listen, you, it said over and over there, you are my trust. When we do that, we can get delivered out of the things that even we've put ourselves in. Look at verse 3. He's put a new song in our mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Listen, if all the world hears about in our nation, if all they hear about from the Christian community is how everybody's going to hell and how this, that, or the other, I'm going to tell you what, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, not the continuous reminder of how far we're straying from this, that, or the other. Amen? Because listen, God's still on the throne, and His throne trumps every other throne. Look at this. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and doesn't respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. In the last verse, Psalms 118, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So does that mean we just turn into skeptical people about men? No. It just means that at the end of the day, our trust and our confidence is in God. Our trust and our confidence is in what this book says right here. Whether our world, whether our local government, whether our national government agree with this or not, it doesn't matter. It's just that we have a default. And so I just encourage all of us to maybe look at our default settings on the computer of our life. How do you like that for a metaphor? Right? Go into the settings place on your iPad and look at our default settings. So when stuff happens that causes questions, when stuff happens that causes, you know what? Even if stuff happens that causes us to be just super elated, we might ought to go back to our settings and go, where's our trust? I want my default settings to always be God. Oh, this happened. Okay. Junk, but God. But what does God say? Where is my trust? And that, you know what that does? I think it just, at least for me, it just helps me come that when the waves of life hit my boat, it's the keel that just keeps me straight. Amen? Does that help at all? All right. So here's what I want us to do. Paul tells us that it's important that we pray for our nation. Isn't that right? For kings and those that are in authority. So I want us to pray for our president. You know, one of the things that struck me as I was watching, I am, by the way, looking forward to the drivel of normal news. How about you? Oh, I'm so sick of hearing polls and all that sort of stuff, but anyhow, I'm kind of getting glad to get back to just normal news type stuff. But you know what I was struck with is past videos of President Obama in 2007 or 2008, and then what he looks like now. And President Bush, you know, at the beginning of his maybe term or whatever, I'm telling you what, in 4 years, every president who's ever served this nation has aged a lifetime. Amen. Now, I don't care who they are. I don't care what political persuasion they're of. It takes a toll. So I want to pray for our president. And how many of you know his family, his wife and his children have to watch what goes on to him? You know what I mean? Yeah, I understand. Well, he chose it. Well, okay, cool, he did, but the effects are still there. I want to pray for their safety. How many of you know there's a lot of people, just because of the office, would like to do harm to our president? And you know what? He's our president. And this is an American nation. And you know what? He's our president. And I don't want anybody to take our president out. I don't want any harm to come to his wife or any harm to come to his children or our vice president, any of that. So let's pray for their safety. And then you know what? This office of the president, United States president, the flow of information that come to them on a daily basis and decisions that they have to make would boggle anybody's brain. And how many of you know they need wisdom? They may be some pretty bright guys, but I'm going to tell you what, there's nobody bright enough to make all the right decisions. So I'm going to pray that they're surrounded with wise counsel. I'm going to pray that they're surrounded with godly counsel. Amen. So that when it comes time for them to make crucial decisions, that they'll have good information to make those decisions upon. Amen. How many of you know all of our senators and all of our House members? There's new ones, and there's ones that are incumbents that have come back. And you know, they do affect our lives to some degree. How many of you know, big picture, they're not going to affect, I don't know about you, but they're not going to affect my joy level. Because God's put a song in my heart. And my trust is in God. But those guys and gals that are out there serving in the legislature and the Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court guys and gals, I'm going to tell you what, they need wisdom as well. Amen? And we can believe God for that. We can trust God for that. On our local level, our governor needs wisdom. All of the people that are in power at our state need wisdom. They need protection. And on a local level, how many of you know our local city council, our local county planning and zoning, we need wisdom. And how many of you know God can give that? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.